Well, someone who will be able to fill us in about what's next potentially for Anthony Seibold is Buzz Rothfield from the Daily Telegraph. Good morning, Buzz.
Yeah, hi, Jamie. Hi, guys. How are we?
Good morning, Buzz.
Going well. How are you?
Yeah, not too bad, thanks. Busy night last night, just catching up with all the Anthony Seibold drama. And, look, he was made an offer on Friday when he spoke to Carl Morris and an offer to step away with a financial settlement. I think his manager, Isaac Moses, will run it past lawyers today. And, look, I think by the end of play this afternoon, I think the Broncos will officially have cut ties with Anthony.
Yeah, it's a sad way for it to all come to an end. Obviously, he's been under enormous amount of pressure ever since signing with the Brisbane Broncos as coach. The next question will be, though, Buzz, I suppose, if Anthony settles on that financial arrangement by the end of today, who's in line to coach the Broncos next season?
Look, Loz, I don't think there's... Look, I'm very, very confident Kevin Walters will step aside from the Queensland State of Origin job and take on the Broncos role. And there were many people at the club who thought that he probably should have got it originally 2 years ago when they poached Anthony Seibold out of South Sydney. And look, Kevy hasn't coached at, been a head coach at NRL level, but he's had a lot of experience out of the Melbourne Storm system. He's done a good job with the Queensland side. He's a club legend. He can pull that, you know, all the Broncos that have drifted away the last couple of years and quite angrily drifted away. And yeah, I think he's the only appointment. And look, I think that will lead to then Paul Green probably taking some time off full-time coaching, but looking after the Queensland Maroons job. Mm-hmm. I would say from next year, although if Kev's going to take on the Broncos job, he might want to get cracking straight away, and whether he'll be there for the series in November remains to be seen.
Well, we've got Kevy on our program a little bit later on this morning, so we'll put that question to him. But Buzz, while Anthony Seibold's certainly copped plenty of bullets and he's been the front man for the disastrous 18 months at the Brisbane Broncos, how much responsibility should the board take?
I think the board, and particularly Paul White, their departing chief executive, as I've said many times before, Seibold inherited a roster with a lot of overpaid players. And you know I'm talking about the Anthony Milfords, the Jack Birds and the Darius Boyds were soaking up almost $3 million of the salary cap. But look, you know, a lot of coaches come in at new clubs and they don't get the roster they want. And I think with the talent he did have, despite those players being on too much money, I think the Broncos are not have been entitled to be performing as poorly as they have. And, you know, it's the right decision for him to move on, not just for personal reasons, for his family reasons, but the fact this club needs to get a restart. The board, Carl Morris, their chairman, they were all involved in bringing Anthony Seibold into the club. They were the ones who put him on a five-year, $800,000 a season, $4 million contract. So, you know, they've got questions to answer too, to their members, to their shareholders. And look, I've always thought, you know, for team performance, the buck stops with the head coach. But as Jack Gibson always said, and it's a really good line, that winning starts in the front office. And the Broncos front office has been performing as badly as the players in the last couple of years.
Buzz, is it another example, though, that a contract means nothing these days?
Oh, well, I guess so, Laurie, but I think, you know, Anthony Seibold could have tried to stick around and fight it and say he was going to improve things over the next year or so. But look, I think he's burnt out. I think he's mentally gone, and I think this is in the best interest of all parties. And as you know, what's this? The fourth coach to go this year. And, you know, it's the fourth really, really big payout for clubs that are struggling in COVID-19. But look, I don't think there's anyone in rugby league who would think it's not a good move for Anthony to depart, rebuild his life, help his family through their issues, and then maybe come back in a couple of years as an assistant coach. And look, he's going to get a very good payout, $1 million, which will keep him going for a while.
Buzz, what about Cam Smith? Talk that Melbourne won't need his services after this season. Do you see him continuing on? And is the Bronx somewhere you could see him going?
No, I can't, only because of the Broncos' salary cap situation, also the Gold Coast Titans. There's been a lot of noise about interest from the two Queensland clubs. Look, I think he'll retire. I think Storm are right to be asking for an answer now before they play Manly next Sunday. I think there's too much hanging on his decision with their salary cap and the futures of Brandon Smith and Harry Grant. They've been very, very patient. They've respected the fact he's an all-time legend of the game and he's played 420-odd matches. But at some stage, that decision needs to be made, and no one is bigger than the football club. Cameron, of course, is not just Storm's greatest player. Arguably, he's the best player to ever put on a Maroons or Australian jersey. But it comes a time where, you know, you've got to think, he had his testimonial game 2 years ago. And his future's been uncertain, really, since then. And last year, he didn't decide until well into the off-season. But Storm have got to make it. There's a bit of urgency about it now, and they want an answer by next weekend.
Buzz, Trent Barrett sounds like he's been getting pretty busy at Belmore. Who's on the way out?
Well, it was written last week that Kieran Foran services won't be required beyond the end of this season. And I've written in the paper today that another old player, Aidan Tolman, who's, you know, a good, solid, hard-working front row, but he's 31 years of age. His body's had to cope with 271 NRL games over 13 seasons. He's also unwanted. Baz, I think, wants a younger squad. They're running last. They don't look like improving. They could have got the Warriors yesterday, but they were poor. And he wants fresh, young faces in there. And particularly the interesting story at Canterbury is going to be about Matt Burton, that outstanding 5'8" at Penrith, who hasn't started in a game of football since round four. And I think Baz is desperate to get him to Canterbury next year, but he's got this non-poaching rule with Penrith at the moment. But I think come November, when he's left Penrith and he's at Belmore, he'll be desperately trying to get Foran there and Matt Burton there and maybe build their first grade side around him.
Buzz, this has just come through from one of our listeners, Jeff. He says, Loz, can you ask Buzz about the Hopewadi situation at Manly? This is young Albert, who's been given the opportunity to go and play with the Warriors on a loan deal. And then Hopper's obviously responded. He's not happy with the club allowing him to do that. Is that right?
Oh, well, John Hopewadi carried on, you know, ridiculous, you know, really nasty social media posts yesterday about his son. Look, Albert is a very, very special player, but I heard from the Warriors late last night and he has been released as a lone player. He will be back at Manly today and there will be a temptation for Des Hasler to use him next weekend, although to put a kid in against Melbourne Storm is a big ask. But I can tell your listeners one thing. Albert Hopewadi is a very, very special player. And Manly desperately need a very, very special player at the moment. And, look, if it's not this week, it'll be the week after he'll be starting with Manly or coming off the bench.
Yeah, no, he's a very, very good player. The only
issue... know what someone told me, Laurie, last night?
What's
he's
that?
He's a good judge. He's a better player than Bradman Best.
I've seen young Hopewadi play at the junior level, and he's a very good player. He's outstanding. In fact, you mentioned Bradman Best. I think it was an under-16 state of origin contest, or a clash between New South Wales and Queensland up there at Lang Park, and Queensland were in front with about a minute to go. They rolled the ball into the end goal. Hopewadi picks it up. Makes an outstanding run, and then he teams up with Bradman Best, passes the Best, and Best scores a 70-metre runaway. So those two young blokes combined. So they're both very, very talented.
Yeah, look, I think the plan Des Hasler, you know, being an 18-year-old, was hoping to wait until next year. And it would be brave to throw him in against Storm, wouldn't it? You know.
Like, oh yeah, and in particular, Buzzy's coming off two ACL injuries, so yeah, it takes a lot of time to come back mentally from that. But he's a special talent, so we'll see. But that is news then, because we thought he was on his way out on that loan deal to the Warriors, but it looks as though he's going to stay and may get an opportunity in the next couple of weeks. What about the Rabbitohs? Do you see them causing a few headaches between now and the end of the season?
Well, we haven't been talking about them in our premiership discussions as a potential being there on grand final day, have we? But I think their performance over the weekend was probably the most impressive I saw from any side, to demolish Manly 56-16. And we've underrated that forward pack all year. We've said they didn't have the middle forwards, but Jake Trbojevic, did I get that right?
Yep.
Trbojevic, yep. Marty Tapau and Big Adam Fanua Blake, they destroyed that pack, you know. And Tom Burgess is doing a great job. Cam Murray in the middle. Then they've got all that wonderful Indigenous backline talent. Luttrell played strong. And look, their game against Parramatta on Thursday night will be a season highlight. It'll answer a lot of questions. What do you think? Do you think they can...
You know what, Buzz? I'm still thinking they're one middle player short, but I was in that situation back in 89 where a lot of people were writing off our forwards, saying Canberra haven't got the forwards to win a competition, yet they've got a good back line. That's what I see with South Sydney. If they can hold their own against opposition forward packs, they've certainly got plenty of points in them if that back line fires.
Yeah, Thursday night will be a wonderful, wonderful game of rugby league. And Parramatta are doing well, as we know. And their defence was sensational the other night against Melbourne, holding them tryless. And, you know, Souths are going to need Walker, you know, Luttrell Mitchell and Reynolds and Gagai and Campbell Graham to do their best. And I thought Damien Cook had his best game of the season. And when he's got to roll forward, the rest of them follow. And geez, that'll be a great game. I'm really hanging out for that.
Yeah, I think most people are. And yesterday at Newcastle, they got away with it against the Cowboys, 12 points to nil. But some sad news for Blake Green. We know he's off contract at the end of the season doing his ACL, and clubs would be very, very wary about signing Blake Green into the future, given his, you know, his age and coming off the back of an ACL and missing the likelihood of missing a fair period, a fair chunk of next season.
Yeah, look, I think that could sadly potentially be a career ender for Blake. You know, he'd been in great form, hadn't he, the previous two games? But you know, he was inconsolable in the sheds afterwards. And look, he'll have his surgery, could come back next year, but I've got my doubts. Although it's a funny game, isn't it? You know, and someone will be desperate next year and late next year, and you know, could give him a phone call.
Buzz, thanks very much. We'll catch you on NRL 360 tonight.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Talk soon.